And Father, we yield to him. We yield to him. Thy will be done in this place. Thy will be done in this place. And Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. And I thank you, Father God, for the honor and the privilege of ministering your word. And we do give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the word of God doesn't do you any good if you don't hear it. Right? Amen. The word of God doesn't do you any good at all if you don't hear it. Second part to that is it doesn't do you any good if you don't do what you hear. If you're not in obedience or if you don't act upon what you hear. And I want you to know something. Listen to me real, real good. This Bible, whatever form you may be reading it, whether it's the actual Bible, the book, or whether you are using your tablet, cell phone, whatever it is, and if you have your cell phone out, make sure it's on your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we did have a little scroll, hope everybody saw it, that went across the screen that says, please silence your cell phone. So please be obedient to that, all right? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing how much time that we can give to electronics, but we have so very little time that we can sit and be and quietly listen and receive the word of God. Amen. So I want you to understand that this word is the most important thing in your life as a Christian. You hear me? And I want to say this. Please do not neglect it. Do not neglect to come hear it as we assemble ourselves together. And do not neglect it at home or in your own personal time. You take time for the Word of God. You take time with God. Spend some time with God. Amen. Amen. And I say that a lot, and I'll be saying it a lot more. Because when I stand before my Heavenly Father and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't want to ever be found guilty of not telling you the truth or withholding the truth from you. Amen. In, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about that in the last days, some will be departing from the truth. Looking for another way. Some will take the living word of God and they'll water it down so that it'll be more receptive and so they can get more people in church. You know, if we pastors and ministers did not inform people what's right, what's wrong, they won't know. That's our job. Now, my job is not to fill every seat in this church. Although that's what I want, and that's what I'm believing God for in the lower area, the lower level, and in the upper level, with people hearing the gospel. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But my job is to preach the word of God.
Amen.
Now, you know, we got, it don't take much to fill the church up. Tell folk what they want to hear. Have two or three rifles. What I mean by that, I'm not talking about the gun type now. I'm talking about rifling off for prizes and that sort of thing. You folk look me kind of funny, huh? I'm hearing that. I go, yeah, all over. What are y'all saying? I said rifle. I'm from South Carolina. Raffle. But here's my point. You know, we could probably get a few strippers to come in and dance for you. Now, you folks probably wouldn't be here, which I wouldn't either. But I guarantee you that'll fill a church. Some will come because they want to see it, and some others will come out of curiosity. My point is, it's not hard to fill up a building. That's not, I'm leaving that in God's hands and us working together, reaching people, and then they come. But my primary job is to preach the word of God.
Amen.
An uncompromised word of God. And you'd be surprised some of the things people do so people come. So people will come and the money will come. But we're not compromising here. Look at somebody and tell them, say, we're not compromising here. Amen. And I'm going to preach the word. Where there's over 500 in here, or where there's two, me and one other. Still going to preach the word of God.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Because it's the word of God that we need. Listen to me. Folk have problems. Say that again. Folk have problems. Folk have issues. Hallelujah. That's a preaching. I think that's a future preacher there. Oh, glory to God. Christians have problems. Can I say something to you, saints? I'm going to move on. And I don't plan to be up here very long. Notice I said I don't plan to. But we have issues that we have to deal with in life. Not just because you're saved don't mean you don't have challenges in life. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you don't have to face things in your life. Amen. Any born again spirit-filled believers in here that have had challenges? Let me see your hand. Yeah, that should be all of us. Yeah, that should be all of us. But I want to share with you for a few minutes concerning living a life of peace. living a life of peace. Turn in your Bibles to, this is very familiar, these are very familiar verses, but Luke chapter 10. Please listen to me. Tune out everything but the Word of God. Luke chapter 10. And I'll begin reading at the 38th verse. You've heard this story. I believe you have anyway. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Hallelujah. Notice she welcomed Jesus into her house. How many of you have welcomed him into your heart? Welcome him into this house, this earthly house, into your spirit man. Notice now that she welcomed him into her house. Jesus was welcome there. He was welcome there. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, who had welcomed Jesus into her house, but Martha was distracted with much serving. I want you to grab a hold of this. Don't lose it. Remember, my subject is living a life of peace. Too many times we come to the altar and we get saved, or wherever it is you may get saved, and you know that you're born again, you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, but you become like Martha. So many distractions. So many distractions. As a matter of fact, once you're saved, the devil will try to show you more distractions. So many distractions. Now notice it says, but Martha was distracted. She was distracted. In other words, at that particular moment, Martha should have been doing something else. Stay with me on this. It says she was distracted. Something else got her attention. She welcomed Jesus into her house. And then she was distracted. Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, this is the very Jesus that she had welcomed into her house. She said, Lord, do you not care? Now, sounds to me like she was developing an attitude. She was upset at her sister. You know the story. She was upset at her sister because her sister wasn't distracted, but she was. And then she began to get a little upset at Jesus. She still acknowledged him as Lord. He was still welcomed in her house, but she wanted Jesus to do something else, which was to rebuke her sister. Correct her sister. So let's look at verse 40 again. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me? She left me. Has left me to serve alone. Poor little me. Now Martha has an issue here, don't she? She's a little upset, a little disappointed. Let me ask you a question. I'm not looking for a response from anybody. Are you disappointed by something? Are you blaming God for anything? I'm talking to Christians right now. Are you blaming God for anything? Are you distracted? Are you out of place? You can say you weren't saved. Are you out of place? Let me go ahead and read some more. It said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. I need some help. Don't you hear the pots and pans clanging? I can imagine. Well, let me read on. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. So that means Martha was probably troubled about other things even before Jesus got there. He said, Martha, Martha, get a grip. I said that. You're troubled by many, many things. Martha, you're not at peace right now. You're upset with your sister. Things are not the way you want them in the house, in the kitchen, or whatever. And you're not real pleased with me at the moment because I haven't corrected her. I haven't sent her to help you. You're not at peace, Martha. But look what he says in verse 42. But one thing is needed. Look, let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? Folks, there's plenty of time to eat. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord of love. He would not have sat there and allowed the people to starve. He wouldn't have done that. Matter of fact, he fed thousands. He would not have allowed them to starve. But sometimes there are things, hear me good, sometimes there are things that are needed that we are neglecting. Busy, 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 busy. But we are missing out on what is needed. what Martha was doing was a good thing. She wanted to serve her guest. She wanted her guest to be able to leave there and say, I want to tell y'all something. You hadn't had a good meal until you've eaten at Martha's house. Now that woman can cook. I mean, she can throw down on some collard greens. There wouldn't be any pork in it. And some black-eyed peas and pinto beans. Mac and cheese. You folks are adding to the menu list. We're stopping right there. But that's what she wanted. I mean, she wanted Jesus well fed. She wanted her guests well fed. She wanted people to talk about Martha's house. What a wonderful hostess she was. But Jesus says, look, Martha, you are neglecting the things that are needed. And get this. You ready for this? And because you are neglecting the things that are needed, you are not at peace right now. Let me ask you a question. Are you easily bugged? Do you get upset easily? Do you have an attitude? Folks have to be careful how they talk to you, how they be around you, because they're not sure what they're going to get. Are you happy? Or are you miserable? Well, now, here's a reasonable question, I think. If I am miserable, there's a reason why I'm miserable. There's never misery without a reason. Now, if I'm miserable, the first person I'm going to look at is me. Now, you know, sometimes us married folks, you know, human nature speaking, you know, we want to blame our spouses for our misery. Well, that was a quiet one. I thought I would have got an amen on that one somewhere in here. It's always easier to blame somebody else for your misery. That way you let your own self off the hook. But you never examine yourself when you're blaming someone else. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Folks, you know, I most of the time when I come up here, I have my notes and I pretty much know which direction I'm going. But I do yield these services to the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. I do yield these services to the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to, can I say something else? If I step on your toe, don't get mad at me. Don't blame the messenger. But this is important. You hear me? This is important. You know, we born again and love Jesus. We need to act like we do. We need to look like we do. We need to walk like we do. We need to talk like we do. Hey, sister, you saved? Hey, brother, you saved? Yeah. No. We'll move on. I didn't finish reading. Let me begin verse 41 again. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, which means she shouldn't be. But one thing is needed. And folks, we got to find that thing that's needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, knowing human nature as I do, now Jesus is in my house and he has been welcomed in my house. And I don't know, you know, what I might have been looking for. Maybe I was looking for, you know, a good pat on the back from the Lord, and maybe for him to prophesy some good things over my life and everything. And so, you know, I'm like Martha, I'm in the kitchen or wherever, making sure Jesus is comfortable, you know. But he's over there talking to Kathy, and she's sitting at his feet and listening to his word, and I'm just trying to make everything comfortable in the house. And then I go and express my concern to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tell me, like he told Martha, well, you know, James, you son, you troubled about too many things. You just troubled. You got too much on your mind, son. You know, you troubled. But my wife here, Catherine, she has chose the good part. Now, human, that's a good place to get upset, to become angry. Now, how dare he tell me? I'm working hard as I can, trying to make everybody comfortable. Now he gonna tell me I didn't choose the good part. She did, and she ain't doing nothing, sitting there listening at it. And he goes on to say that what she has chosen would never be taken away from her. I hope I'm getting through to you today. Sometimes we need to stop and just sit for a moment and just assess some things. Just take a look at where we are. Why am I the way I am? I don't like this about me, and I don't like that, and I don't like blah, 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 blah. But why? There is an answer. There's a reason. Why am I not at peace? Why am I miserable? Maybe it's because we're not receiving what's needed. Maybe, are you ready for this one? Maybe we're so taken up with trying to please man, we want to be well spoken of by man, folk, people, that we're not taking the time to please God. Now, when you take time to please God and do what's right, not everybody going to be happy with it. Can you imagine, let's just say Martha now had chosen to sit at Jesus' feet beside her sister Mary. Sure, somebody could come up and say, hey, Martha, I'm hungry. When are we going to eat? I haven't had anything since breakfast. I thought I was going to get some food while I was here. And if you don't soon get up and prepare some food for us, I'm leaving. I'm going down to KFC or whatever. But Martha would have been right to say, "Sir, ma'am, right now I need to hear from my Lord. Right now I need the Word of God." Now, I'm not going to, I know sometimes I get accused of meddling, but I'm going to say this anyhow, and because nobody's raising their hands or anything. I don't want you to. But I say it this way. Sometimes folk have stayed home and cooked the Christmas dinner. Now, we're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ on December 25th. But some have said, "You know, I don't think I'll go to church tonight or this morning. I know the word's going to be good, but I sure need to get this turkey in the oven." Now we have to step back and say, ask ourselves, what's needed? What's really need? What do I really need? Do I need to hear the word of God? I can answer that one for you, yes. Well, I'm going to hear the word of God. We may have a late Christmas dinner, but that's all right. I'm going to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't raise your hand on this one either. And this applies to both male and female. How many of you don't respond? How many of you get frustrated around the holidays? You're just busy, 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 busy. Can't get everything done you want to get done, and you just get frustrated. Man, I've talked to people I ask folks, "Man, you have a blessed Christmas." "I'm glad it's gone." Oh, I've gotten that response. And I know what they're telling me. I have worked hard, been buying presents, spent a lot of money, and I'm glad it's gone. That's not even the purpose for Christmas. It's okay to buy presents for your loved ones. Amen. And I've told y'all this before. And Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, or wedding day, you don't need to spend beyond your means. You don't need to be paying off a ring you bought 15 years ago, because the interest rate was so high, you still paying the interest. Listen, brothers and sisters, we got to focus in on what's important. We got to focus in on what's needed. And to hear his word is always needed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, ask somebody, are you getting this? See, we have to understand that what brings peace, direction, healing, and I could go on and on to us, is when we make a decision, hear me good, when we make a decision that we are going to feed our spirit. You hear me? We must feed our spirits. And I quote this verse to you a lot. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where Jesus said, and it's found in Luke 4, 4 as well, where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And he proceeded to tell us how we are to live. By every word, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, what Jesus is saying is we must have our spirits fed. Amen. Glory be to God. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Y'all getting anything out of this yet? Listen. I charge you as your pastor and as a minister of God to make it a priority that you are going to feed your spirit with the word of God. That's how you feed your spirit, with the word of God. Make it a priority. I'm here to tell you, it will change your life. Many people are miserable because they're not developing their spirit. And if your spirit is not being developed, guess what? You're walking by the natural man. With his or her attitudes. If you walk, listen to me, if you walk in the spirit, you're going to be walking like God. You're going to be talking like God. You're going to be acting like God because you have his word on the inside of you. You hear me? Amen. And if you face a challenge in your life, you're going to face it the way God told you to face it. I'm going to show you something. The Apostle Paul is an example for us. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let me see where I want to be. I'm just reading a little bit. That's all right with y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just pick it up at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commended ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, or the King James Version, I think, says hid, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I'm going. Stay with me on this. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed. Everybody say hard pressed. Hard pressed. You ever been hard pressed? Yeah. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now you notice how he's coming back. He's talking about what they've been to, but then he come back and give the results. In other words, we've been perplexed, but we didn't get in despair. We've been hard pressed on every side, but we weren't crushed. Persecuted, but we know that we weren't forsaken. Struck down, but guess what? Not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have this same spirit of faith, everybody say the spirit of faith. Come on, say it again. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, what? I believe, and therefore I spoke. Paul is saying, I am a man of faith. I face challenges in my life, but I come out on top every time. I've faced challenges. I've had hard times, but none of it was able to take me down. Verse 13 again. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. Listen to what he said. We also believe and do what? And therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Hallelujah. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. Listen to me. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. Through all the hard times, the persecutions, he said, we don't lose heart. Why, Paul? Even though our outward man is perishing. And we're getting older every day, ain't we? Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Even though our outward man is perishing. Finish that verse. Oh, read that again. One more time, nice and loud. Hallelujah. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Why? Yet this inward man, this spirit man is being renewed day by day. You won't find Paul on the roadside looking like roadkill because he couldn't make it. He didn't give up and quit. He didn't walk around looking for somebody to feel sorry for him. No, what Paul said is, I renew my spirit every day with the word of God, with the things of God. I renew my spirit every day. Therefore, whatever come down the path, I am ready for it. I will not be destroyed. I will not quit. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Brothers and sisters, that's what's going to put us over. And you can live on this earth as troubled as it is. You can live in peace. You can have a smile on your face. Why? Because your inward man, by the way of the word of God, is being renewed every day. We don't want to be like Martha. She was a good lady. There are things that are needful, and we have to understand what's needful. We must have the word of God. Everything else one day is going to pass away, but the word of God will never, ever, ever pass away. Why don't somebody give God some praise, will you? Oh, come on, praise him like you mean it. Praise him like you mean it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God, we thank you. Our spirits is being renewed day by day, every day. Every day. It's sad to have big, healthy bodies, but a starving spirit. Our spirit lives and functions by the word of God. So it's time to examine ourselves. If I'm miserable and don't have the peace of God in my life, why? Why, James? Why? Have you been slack in feeding your spirit? Have you been slack in the word of God? I'm here to tell you, I don't care how good things may be right now. Your health may be 100%. You may have more money than you ever thought you could have. Everything, I mean, you may have abundance in everything, and that's all good. But you're still lacking, very much so, if you're not feeding on the word of God. Because here's what happened. Now, I'm getting ready to close. You can have everything it is to have. The houses, the land, the cars, all the money you'll ever need. In the world we're living in today, you can lose it all. A person without the word of God will be crushed. They won't know what to do. But a person that's full of the word of God, renewing their spirits day by day, they say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know you do. And I stand on your word, you're taking good care of me. You're taking good care of me. You're meeting every need abundantly. Because they have the word of God to fall back on. You hear me? Have the word of God to fall back on. That's what we must have. Hallelujah. Where it says in Psalm 37, even in the days of famine, we shall be satisfied. That's for people to know the word of God. that their spirit is being renewed day by day. Let me tell you, and I'm closing on this one. God wants us ready for each day. He wants us ready for every day. He wants us spiritually ready for tomorrow. He wants us spiritually ready. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word.